Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and it is Thursday, April 1st. Yes, indeed. Today is April Fool's Day. We have a great show lined up, and I welcome everybody if you want to call in and share any of the silly things that have been going on across the planet. Some people take April Fools very seriously. I have talked to a few friends of mine that some very serious pranks were actually pulled on them. Or not. You're welcome to call in and share, though, because tonight's going to be a very interesting show that my guests, Jeff Hutcherson and Dawn Leader, who are both healers, and Jeff wrote a book and Transformative New Thoughts. Very inspirational, because what we're going to talk tonight about is really kind of, I don't want to call it the darker side, but the darker side of life where we lie to ourselves and we lie to others. And I have a few interesting stories that I saw on TV, which I thought were kind of funny. But we'll talk about that as it comes in. So first, let me welcome my beautiful guests, Jeff and Dawn. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us again.
Sure.
Hi, Goldie.
Hi, Donnie. You know, first let me just tell you, considering last week my guest didn't show up, I'm just so happy you're here. We appreciate that here in another reality show. You know, guests say they'll come, and they show. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's all good. So first, let's kind of catch up. How are you guys doing? Jeff, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Had a phenomenal show last night, which led to something very big coming up on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to, getting that, cemented and put in place. It's myself and three other healers, Keith Varnum, Stephen Harefield, and Tony Petronovich, are going to do a three-day workshop in her retreat center in Washington. So I'm like, ho, 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 ho.
Washington State or D.C.?
I don't know yet. I have to look and see where she actually is.
Oh, okay.
She's got a wonderful place. I hear she's by a lake, so how about that? Does that give you a clue where she is?
Well, they're both coastal, so that could be either or, but of course. Well, a lake isn't even coastal. Listen, I'm answering him, Dawn. What kind of silliness is going on here?
Hey,
and wait a minute,
because I don't know.
Jeff, plug your show, please. Let everybody know where they can find you on Wednesday nights and what time. And
oh, my show is called Aware Talk Radio, and it's on Wednesday nights, and it's at 8:30 p.m. My time. And again, it's on blogtalkradio.com/aware. And we have lots of fun on that show, again, as we do on this one, just really bringing awareness to what it is that we're doing and, you know, having fun doing it from all of the different perspectives that we have for as far as having fun together and just really,
yeah,
you know, taking all the juice and getting all you want out of life.
Yeah, being that piece of bread and really soaking it up.
Yeah, you got it.
Indeed, indeed. And Dawn, how are you, Dawn?
I'm good.
Yeah, how's the corporate life going?
The
have they let you up for air?
The corporate life is slowing down. It's near the end of my busy season, so I jumped right into full immersion in yoga. I'm doing my 200-hour yoga teacher training certification.
Oh, wow.
And so that's busy. And this month, last weekend, they gave us a challenge to do 30 days of yoga in a row.
Okay.
So when I get off this show, I have to do my yoga for today yet.
Okay, so this isn't Al Amin yoga. This is other yoga.
This is a certification that is recognized through Yoga Alliance nationwide. So I've been teaching yoga for quite a while. However, I never had my 200-hour certification. I had done like weekend, certifications, that kind of thing. But now with this certification, I can go anywhere in the country and be recognized. So my goal is to bring the Irasattva yoga to more places.
Outstanding. Well, congratulations. You know, I'm doing 60 wheels in 60 days for the Key Vesta, which, you know, very interesting when, you know, life starts, you start doing the word commitment, you know, of anything, whether it's 200 hours, 60 days. I mean, personally, I'm just finding it to be, it's an interesting aspect to life because, you know, some days you wake up and you're full of vim and vigor, and some days you wake up and for me, I'm full of, you know, pissed off and shit, to be quite honest.
I agree. That is what scared me the most about doing this program was that because it's every other weekend for 5 months, from Friday till Sunday, Friday evening till Sunday night.
Oh, that's a whole weekend.
That's a whole weekend for 5 months, and I went, I have never committed other than a marriage, or my children, I guess. You know, I mean, I guess my job, too, but, you know, to something for me, you know, to do for this length of time, and now I've only had 2 weekends of yoga, and now I've committed to doing yoga for 30 days straight. And it is interesting. It's giving me a whole new, you know, awareness. I mean, you started saying, like, the little lies we tell ourselves. Well,
there you go.
You know,
let's get into it.
For growth.
Well, and the best part is you guys can even talk about it, you know, from a couple standpoint, too, which is really, you know, of course, diverging, you know, only what you're comfortable sharing. But it's true because, I mean, I see it from my perspective with the kids when I nanny, how I'll say, okay, you know, I'm just going to use a random thing. I'll buy you Tic Tacs. My little Anya loves Tic Tacs. And I'm like, God, how easy it is. How easy is it to please a kid who, you know, they're just little candies. And there'll be days where it's like, where we go to the store, it's like, you know, it's kind of a little bit across town. And I'll go, you know what, we're not going to get the Tic Tacs today. And she'll look at me and she goes, but you promised. And, you know, these are, you know, also just another form of, you know, that's a lie to just say to a kid, because essentially what it is I'll say we'll get the Tic Tacs, and on some level, if there's a behavior I'm not liking at the moment, that clearly calms the behavior down, because in the future, I'm basically saying to her, future being that day, we're going to get the Tic Tacs, and I'll get caught up in life, and I'll be going in another direction, but when she says it to me, you know, to be quite honest, I go out of my way and I'm like, you're right, because I'm finding it's extremely important that if I keep my integrity and keep my word, my belief is that the universe will keep its word with me, and anything that I am creating that is mine to receive will also show up in that same integrity. You know, in other words, we get back what we give. But, like, I see it often with, like, nannies as well as parents that they just kind of blurt things off to their kids. And, you know, they're like, listen, you know, things change. And sometimes things do happen, you know. Things happen where, I'll be like, I promise, we'll do it tomorrow. I promise. But I'm realizing that I really need to watch what I say because in order to stay in integrity, there's a whole lot of inner awareness to be, you know, aware of before I say that, before I make a promise to anybody,
and
big or small.
That's an outside promise.
Right.
You know, how often
are
we breaking our promises to ourselves?
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's, I guess, what this whole commitment to the yoga and you know, to the 30 days, to the 200 hours, this is my commitment to myself.
Yeah.
And I know that there are other things. We've got friends coming in from the 15th to the 26th. And, you know, do I want to play with my friends, you know, during that time period, or do I want to go to yoga?
Right. As part of the commitment. Well, and it's not
part
like there's
of
a
my commitment.
It's part because you really have to look. It's not just yoga anymore. It's part of a bigger scenario, which is your commitments.
My truth to myself, my offense,
indeed,
authenticity,
indeed,
of living, you know, who I want to be from the heart in honesty and truthfulness and integrity. And
do you have the K Vesta cards? I'm just curious.
I do.
Okay, so you know the card Luminosity Through Authenticity.
Yes.
You know, that's what these cards are coming up everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is really deep for me because I'm right with you. I mean, when my kids were little, I'd do the same thing. And sometimes now I find with my kids, like, I won't make any kind of commitment or any kind of thing to them at all because
yeah,
I don't want to be out of integrity with them.
Exactly. Well, that's
you
what
know,
I'm learning.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to say, hey, I'm going to come and visit you this weekend for sure, because what if something does come up? You know, what if the weather's bad and I don't want to drive 2 hours, you know? Or
what if you just wake up in one of those spaces, because we're doing energy work all the time where, I mean, literally the sun doesn't rise. And I mean, it's out there outside, but inside it's, I mean, I've had days where it's like, you know, I can't face the world. I mean, that's what it feels like. This last rain we had Tuesday, I was in a space of like, I can't even describe it. There was a tremendous fear that the brook next to my house was going to overflow. And I mean, I was having like Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz fear. I mean, I laugh now, but I got this sense the house was going to be washed away. And I know it sounds irrational, but it literally it was a hopelessness. That's the best way to describe it. I felt like there was this hopelessness as the water raged outside my house. And, I mean, I have come since to realize that I think what I'm doing is I'm tapping into mass consciousness and kind of helping transcend these fears, because I don't feel hopeless. I did that day, but I, you know, after a night's sleep, I woke up, you know, and because I was like at that point going, I'm not doing these wheels anymore. You know, these wheels are kicking my ass. And I still got a job, and I got a little girl, you know, a couple little girls to take care of. And then I was like, you know, like I just went, no, luminosity through authenticity. It's like, because it kind of became clear to me, for me anyways, it was like, you're tapping into mass consciousness, Goldie. This, you don't feel hopeless, not at all. I mean, first of all, everything I was afraid of that the brook was going to do, it never did. And the next morning, after I did sit in that wheel that the next day, the wheel itself actually supported my my inner being to know that there's just a lot of clearing and processing, especially for sensitive people, going on right now. And really the key is, for me, don't put your story on this, Goldie. You're going to feel it, but it's really not mine. It's just, I'm going to feel it as part of being a human being on the planet, you know, in the year 2010. That's how I read it anyways. Jeff, talk to us, baby.
Well, what you've got here, you know, all of the things you've been saying, what's really at the heart of it is the fact that when you do make a commitment to something and then you follow through with it and you feel good, but then if you waver in some way, shape, or form, look at how much you beat yourselves up.
Right.
And even with the fact of being free to change your mind, well, then you feel bad for some reason. You have the freedom to change your mind in any given moment, so why should you feel bad if you changed your mind? Well, look at what that's telling you. Our society is giving you, well, if you're not consistent, we can't trust you, and then if you're not consistent, then it's not good enough, and then you're putting yourself all through this whole emotional rat race. And it's really crazy how you beat yourself up like that. And even getting into the point of when you make a commitment to yourself, how often do you do that? Throughout your whole life, how often do you make a commitment to yourself? even for the littlest things. People say, I want to be happy. People say, I want to be more spiritual. I want to be more fun, whatever it is that their desires that they want, and then they don't allow themselves to have it.
Right.
Bottom line, the one thing that I feel, for me, is that we all want love. We all want to express love. That's all we ever want to do all the time. And if that's true for anyone in any way, shape, or form, then why do you resist it so much on so many different things?
Well, that would be the $60,000 question.
Yeah. And so jumping into it, when you're talking about, you know, your dark side, even if there is, you know, for me, I don't believe in such a thing. It's just the other side of you that you are saying you don't like, that you're resisting, that, you know, you need to clean this up about you.
Right.
When you present that to yourself, this is what happens. When you present it to yourself like that, this is what happens. You have like a piece of you that you don't like. You call it a dark side. And I'll put it to you this way. There are some spiritual people that have just been so enthralled with the movie Avatar. And I don't blame them. I love it, too. And then they take the romantic side of it, and where they're saying, like, you know, they're looking at a person, and they say, I see you. And then, you know, 15 seconds later after they said, I see you, to that person, they are obviously treating them in a fashion that they do not see who they really are.
Right.
What they're actually seeing and how they're actually treating that person is how they perceive them. And it's a very interesting point to go, I don't know who you are now, and I do want to see you. And when you do, there is no judgment about that person, because in that moment, you're accepting who they are.
Well, I mean, I can only speak from my own point of view, but I can clearly tell you that judgment is something that I have danced, struggled, played. I mean, I'm going to use all the words other than conquer since my journey into the ascension. I mean, I might not verbally express judgment, but I have not removed judgment out of my thoughts yet.
Oh, that's
and
perfectly
I,
fine.
Well, but is it perfectly fine? I mean...
Yeah, look at it this way. This is what... If you want to get a handle on your judgment, it's like this. First, look at things as they are, not needing them to be any particular way.
Okay.
So when you do that, and again, I'll give you the image of looking at it with the eyes of a child and just take it all in. And then number two, don't lay blame or do not label things and say this happened because of this and this will happen because of that.
Right.
And this happened to me because of. Don't label anything. If you can go through those two pieces, then no judgment is going to be a walk in the park.
Because you know, that's a very interesting point. You're absolutely right. Detachment, because, like, I just want to give a quick scenario. You know how this is what I do. I give quick scenarios from my life. Last night, a friend of mine was in town, and... to make a long story short, we had dinner plans, but when he comes into town, it's for business. His business meeting took him until 9:15. So when he called me, Goldie was, you know, deep in the hissy fit. You know, and I was like, forget it, you blew me off. You know, and at the time, he basically just said, okay. And we hung up the phone, and I mean, literally, as soon as I hung up the phone, I had heartburn, my stomach was in knots. Now, I do not enjoy being mad at any of my friends. You know, I don't enjoy being mad at anybody. It's just not my gig. I immediately go, all right, I got to find the resolution to this, because in the resolution of it, I'll understand it. And the very first thing I came up with was, you know, us not meeting, was truly my creation as much as it was his. I was exhausted yesterday from Tuesday being in all that fear. It's unbelievable how exhausting fear is. I mean, because I really don't go there, you know, on a daily basis per se, I was exhausted yesterday. So that was my first thing. And as soon as I recognized that it was me too, that the truth, my authentic truth was, I didn't want to go see him either. I wanted to just relax, listen to some Almin or Tobias or whoever, lie in bed and go to bed. So, and you know, as soon as I came up with that awareness, immediately the stress in my chest and my belly literally instantly went away. Instantly. I mean, it was no longer eating me up alive. The resistance to what was. And what I did is, it wasn't about it's all his fault that we're not together. The truth was, it really was my intention too. And as soon as I owned that, you know, my body became the standard, so to speak, that let me know that is the truth, because it completely relaxed and went into homeostasis after that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, because a lot of people right now are, I mean, literally, they're losing their marbles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what I mean? Like, the energy that we are playing in and the consciousness that we are playing in right now, and I mean this as a planet, is very, you know, new. And, you know, people are like, they're stressing about finances, they're stressing about health, and they're stressing about relationships, you know, or one or combination, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What you just said, you know, because people are like, we need the panacea, and I'm always with you. I'm like, first of all, you got to see the world as your creation. There can be no blame, you know, because, you know, some people are, I mean, everything, none of it's their fault. It's everybody but them. I don't even know how to begin, you know, because if you can't own that the creation is yours as just a foundation.
Well, yeah,
I mean, I
look at what you said here. You said it's no one's fault, and you're absolutely right. It's no one's fault, but it is their responsibility. Now,
okay.
When you can understand that you can change your responsibility, and when you can take ownership of everything that you have in your life, you have no stress. I mean, because look at what happened to you. You found out why you were angry. I mean, you didn't want to see the guy to begin with. And then you were actually upset at the fact that you got what you wanted and you took it out on him for whatever reason. And then you came back and after you figured it out, for what? I mean, that's simple little mind game stuff that we've been conditioned in. And you really want to get a handle on how to get rid of judgment?
Okay.
Think about this for a moment and just be in this space with me, okay?
Okay.
All of your frustrations, all of your angers are nothing more than the shadow of your expectations.
You know what I have to say about that? Sorry, Goldie has an applause button. I need Thank you for laughing with me, Jen. So periodically throughout the night, when you give those brilliant tidbits, we're going to applaud them.
Well, thank you. There you go.
Well, because because when you said, you know what was the hardest thing for me to admit? That I didn't want to see him. I mean, this is my friend. I haven't seen him in 3 months. I love him to pieces. You know what I'm saying? It was like, what do you mean you don't want to see him? How could that possibly be? But this is like what you were talking about, Dawn, taking care of self, putting self first, and making that be okay too. You know, it very, very good. But continue. Okay, so frustration and resistance is the shadow of expectation. That's big.
You're playing with. Yeah, because when you're playing with your expectations, you're again saying that you need things to be a certain way so that you can choose to be happy. And that is one of the
right.
biggest false premises that are out there. You don't need anything to be a particular way for you to choose to be happy. Now, in looking at how you are growing spiritually, well, you have people that are out there doing whatever it is that they're doing, wanting to know the mystery of life, not even realizing that they are alive. And so the answer to that question is how they are living their life. You know, and life can't be defined anyway. Everyone's doing it so differently, and they're arguing and having fights about it so much because we're not living it the same way. There's expectation again.
Right, right.
People talk about they want world peace. Well, their idea of world peace generally is if you have the idea of world peace the way that I do and think about it the way that I do and do the things that I do, then we can all get along, then we'll have world peace.
Right.
Never going to happen that way.
Well, I mean, and that's the bigger, I mean, because I tend to like to stay from a more personal point of view. Like, because one of the things that from last night that frustrated me was that I felt disrespected. See, expectations bring up that whole thing of respect.
Mm-hmm.
And what I, because immediately what I do is when I'm in a really bad space, if the next day is sunny and if I have any hand in it whatsoever, I go to the woods. Because for me, it literally puts me into a balanced state away from people so that I can come back and be with people in a more expanded understanding of whatever it is that I'm creating and however to make, you know, because my goal is always to find the balance. And, you know, I clearly got that I was exactly like you said. My expectation was if you make a date with me, well, then if you respect me, you'll keep it. Yeah, well, how whack job is that?
How we're conditioned. That's the beauty of it.
But I want the listeners to know that that is a condition that will ruin very good relationships because it leaves no room for change. It leaves no room for, I mean, the truth was my friend is in deep in his passion creating, you know, amazing things for himself that he's worked all his life for. And, you know, it wasn't about intentionally not showing up for me. It was really about, listen, the priority says the big guy wants me to have a dinner meeting. I'm going to go to the dinner meeting. You know, and of course, in my balance, I'm like, hey, that's cool. But in my tiredness, in my attachment to I haven't seen him in 3 months, and oh, my God, all of that was equating to just I was raging. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I could tell because the inside of my body became on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is prevalent with a lot of people.
Yes, because it's your relationship with you that's most important. It's never about the other person. It's your relationship with you. Because look at how you had all of those judgments and ideas. They were thoughts about you. Well, if you respect me, you would have.
Exactly.
Which made you in that moment view yourself from the past. You didn't see yourself in the present moment. Because if you were truly there in the present moment, you would have said, oh, okay, I guess it's just not happening now. Because
right.
when you're in the present moment, it's just like, okay, this is where I am. I'm here. But
right.
when we have those past memories, those past experiences, and we say, oh, I said I was never going to be like this again. Well, you're in the past, and you just brought it forward.
Right.
So all the time in those moments, you can, and that's the beautiful part of it, because, you know, we're talking about, you know, your dark side and lying to yourself and looking at all of those ways, again, as I was stating before, all we want to do is be love. And look at how we have set up so many different things in our consciousness that stop it from happening, that stop it from expressing it, that distract us from
yeah.
being the love that we want to be.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because,
nothing wrong.
I mean, that's nothing wrong, but don't you think it's a huge part of the jigsaw puzzle, so to speak, to know the ways we block it from our lives?
Yes. And that's
because
one of the
those are the subconscious things we're doing, subconscious or conscious, that are keeping those relationships from coming our way.
Right. And it's always about your relationship with you. And it's about, you know, because if you're happy with you, then you'd be happy with anyone. I mean,
that's,
I am.
Or I'd even be happy alone. That's exactly right. That's
right,
exactly right.
With either choice, you'd be happy no matter what you're doing. It's in those moments of, well, I'm choosing differently in this situation now, and now I'm going to feel bad about my choice. That does not help you. That is not being authentic with you, because guess what? The love that created you, the love that you are, does not look at you with judgment. The heart only knows love. The mind makes up everything else.
Right.
And it's learning how to control and navigate through our mind field that'll stop all of these unwanted explosions happening and all of these dances with chaos that we put ourselves through that are just so needless. I mean, they're fun if you can recognize what you're doing to yourself and then learn how you are, you know, getting in your way with things, but then you can accept it and then change your course.
Right.
And stop feeling like you're at cause.
Well, aren't we always at cause?
Yeah, you're always at cause, but it's the way that you are being at cause. When you are hurting yourself and you admit it, you accept it, and you go, okay, I'm going to stop this.
Right.
Then you can change it.
Right.
But when you're at cause and you're still saying to yourself, I don't know what's going on here, you're taking your power, you're giving your power away and thinking that something else has to be different so that you can choose differently to value and know that you're worthy.
Okay, wait a minute. That deserves... Rock and roll. Donnie, any comments?
Well, it's really about the whole truthful with yourself.
Indeed.
You know, and what Jeff is saying is, like, if you are in this place of not moving forward and you're looking at the past, then you're not in that cause place, you're at the effect place.
Indeed. Indeed.
So it's how truthful, how real do you really want to be? Because, you know, I have personally just come to this realization. There were a lot of people that I energetically didn't feel a match with anymore.
Okay.
And so I was like, I don't want to call them in. I don't want to hang out with them. I want to be like with more like people.
Right.
And so then a little bit I dabbled in being with like people, like maybe a lunch or something like that.
Okay.
Well, these like people kind of called me out on some stuff that I wasn't really ready to be real with myself about yet either.
Okay. Okay.
So I retreated back in.
Darn,
and I didn't call in those other people that would make me crazy, but
right.
I didn't like call in my peers and my friends that I wanted to connect with either. I was like, you know what, Jeff, I am really just cool staying at home with you this winter. I don't need to go out.
Well, you know, because there really is, it is life affecting to be around people who are doing the work, and I don't want to call it work because it's a lifestyle at this point. Awareness is a lifestyle.
Well,
and
it's a whole next level vibration.
Absolutely.
You know,
and it
you
stretches
were at one
you.
Vibration, and now you are coming into alignment with another vibration. And so you have that little gap in between.
Yeah.
And how real do you want to get? Are you ready to quickly jump to that next level, or
right.
you're not ready to, you know, be real and look at illusional things that have been in your life, or, you know, looking at outside things instead of inside things or whatever. And then when you're ready to be real and you go, oh my gosh, what was I doing?
Yeah.
And you can step forward. And so none of it was wrong. You know, none of it was the wrong place to be. It was the perfect, exact right place for me to be. However, it didn't always feel real good.
Indeed.
And so moving towards a place of always feeling better, always feeling, you know, more joyful, more heart-centered is a place I've really run to. And that feels really good, and I really like that. And every time I kind of, you know, that other stuff kind of creeps back in, I go, oh, that didn't feel good, you know. I'm going to move back over here where it feels better from my authentic self. I'm going to be truthful because, you know what, even if it's something I don't really like about myself, it feels better than being in this other place.
So the shift has been made.
The shift has been made,
yeah.
And it's getting accustomed to that new vibration.
Indeed. Indeed. That's
so it feels good.
Yeah, one of the things I'm starting to notice, because I know I'm in the midst of making that shift, there are times my body seems to be my best indicator when I'm, like, I'll find myself alone, and then I'll call somebody up from a space that I'm not really comfortable completely being around, and then I'll get there, and I'll be nauseous the whole time I'm there. It's like the body is not even allowing me, because I kind of laugh at myself as I'm driving to these places, because I'll go, you know, you set the intention that you want to be at a certain frequency, so you know you're going to be uncomfortable being in another frequency. You know it, Goldie. And, you know, I keep going and then inevitably go, okay, I got to go home. I don't feel good. I'm finding it interesting. Because also, everything I seem to be watching on TV, I was watching this show about stupid criminals, and there was a guy that robbed something. I was kind of watching it in between another show. This guy had robbed something with his face. He duct taped his face as a mask, and all I saw was at the end, I think he got the poop kicked out of him. Whatever he was trying to do, he got caught. Somebody beat the crap out of him. They took the tape off his face, which, you know, you can just imagine how much that hurt. And after he was revealed without the duct tape, he made this other video in his orange prison clothes going, I'm not the duct tape guy. Do I look like the duct tape guy? I wouldn't do the duct tape thing. And, I mean, I'm watching this saying to myself, that man is just flat out lying. You know what I mean? I mean, I get that they're making fun of it on the show, but it's like lying is becoming so prevalent in my world, right? I mean, I'm watching The Millionaire Matchmaker, and she's going, you're lying. And it's like, so everywhere I'm turning lately, it's either me in my own awareness saying, am I lying? And if I am lying, get into that honesty track, Goldie. Get integrity. Or I'm experiencing people lying, and I'm talking about lying about the stupidest things. This isn't about lying about bank accounts. You know, this is about lying about, in what I consider, trivial things, things that would make someone just be authentic. It's like, you don't have to lie to please me. If I ask you something and it's not your gig, okay, then just say it's not your gig. You know, don't lie because, you know, remember when our parents used to say, if you lie about getting caught, you're going to get into that much more trouble.
Yes.
But it is so clear to me right now in my level of awareness that everything is about kind of this thing called lying, truth, and this whole dance of awareness of kind of what motivates people to lie. Why are people, because like I said, a lot of the people in my life that are lying are, it's not even really directly affecting me other than I'm like, why are you lying to me? Because I can feel when people lie. I don't necessarily know what the truth is, but I can feel the lie. And if I call them out on it, you know, they're like, I'm not lying. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not here to go into battle with you to prove that you're telling the truth. I trust my feelings. But then the question then comes up to me. It's like, okay, so do I have, I used to have a saying, liars, cheats, and thieves. I won't play or party or hang out with any of them. And at this point, that would, including myself, everybody I know is a liar or a cheater or a thief. It's like, what do you do when the whole world seems to have this identity issue?
Well,
that's... Go ahead, Don.
Well, I think it is really a couple of things. I think it's
okay.
A learned behavior. It's the kids being told, yes, we're going to get you Tic Tacs. No, not today. Something's come up.
Okay.
And being told that many, many times.
Right.
I also think people think it's easier to lie than to be honest. So
I agree with that.
I heard this weekend on a yoga lecture I was listening to, and this is what I have been telling my kids too. You have to be truthful with yourself, even when you're talking to someone else. So if you are feeling like you need to lie to not compromise yourself,
right,
it is much better to say, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom now.
Well, as opposed
to
lie. I agree.
Something.
Right. 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 In other words, don't answer whatever they were going to answer. Just walk away and say, in other words, answer with silence.
Yeah, or... sorry, I'm not ready to go there, or...
Right, right. Be honest about not saying it.
Right.
And
yeah.
That's another beautiful piece about lying. Since we're talking, you said something about balance, and I like to play in the realm of, you know, having that harmony of being able to go through both sides and understand what's going on for you in that present moment. You know what?
I love it. Yes, yes.
When you lie, do you realize that you have to admit the truth before you lie? Because you have to know what to lie about. You have to know the truth before you know how to lie about it. So even when you're lying, there is an admission of truth, and I'm going to tell it this way. So
right, you're right. Okay, okay.
If you're lying, you are admitting the truth, so, and then you go ahead and tell yourself the story that you need to tell so that then you can choose to feel good about you. And my goodness.
Jeff, wait a minute. That's brilliant. I'm sorry. I hope that's not screwing you.
Not at all. It's
because I never saw that. And that's one of the key Vesta cards, living with no opposites. That was brilliant. Okay, please continue.
And when you can move yourself into that space, and again, this is all a part of, you know, acceptance of who you are.
Right.
When you have someone that's, you know, trying to lie to you for whatever reason, then they're trying to impress you, then they're trying to gain your favor. They're trying to do something to please you so that you don't look at them with displeasing eyes. I mean,
right.
Look at all of this justifying that you're doing here, and when you're justifying, you are, in essence, keeping yourself away from the things that you want, because within you saying, you need to justify me on this, you are admitting your unworthiness.
Right, right.
Because
how do you respond to that? How do we have... compassion, I would imagine.
Well, it's the exact, in that moment, you know, when we're talking about dealing with, you know, our inner demons and stuff, if you will. In my book, I have an acronym for demon, and the demon is this: your deep emotions manifesting one's negativity.
Okay.
I'll say that again. It's your deep emotions manifesting one's negativity. I mean deep emotions in the fact that this is the stuff that you believe to be false or bad about you that need to be suppressed, that you say that, you know, I don't like. And, you know, if you like everything about you and someone comes and presents to you an idea that they don't like about you, do you realize how much it does not affect you on that subject?
Right, right.
Only when you have someone that presents an idea that you haven't loved yourself enough to the point of saying, you know, I've got no reason not to love me, then you find yourself not putting yourself through those situations. and having those places. So it's deep emotions manifesting one's negativity. In that instance, you are thinking things, feeling things about you, about your life, about your current situations, about what's going on in your closet and your finances and your and you know, at your job, and you're looking
right.
at it from a viewpoint that's saying, oh, my life is just so craptacular right now. And that's not true. That is so not true. Within that moment, you can turn it around and saying, well, and here's a tool that you can use to do that. When you find yourself in a negative spot, in a negative place, when you honestly say, oh, my God, I'm feeling really anxious and pissed off about this. Well, here's a little flip switch. Oh, yes, I accept this anger. I accept that I chose this. Wait a minute. I chose this. Why did I choose this?
Right.
Ooh, this is interesting. I chose this. I did this. And within that moment, I caused my anger. In that moment, I am looking at things that are pissing me off so much right now. I am doing all of this. It is not the other person. It is all within me. And because it's all within me, I can change it. It's not the other person. It's me looking at it. And now things will change because it's on me.
You know, as soon as I did that, the heartburn and the gut-wrenching thing went away. That is the truth, as soon as I owned it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
just owning
within
everything
the
in your whole
second
life.
That I owned it. Indeed.
You know, because
indeed.
When you...
Because people are always like, well, what can we do? And it's like, you know, like the ability to respond, how are we respond? Because most of the time it's, we create it, but until it's on our outside, we don't really, unless we're very sensitive and aware, we don't really deal with it until it's shown up on the outside, whether in congruency or in resistance. We tend to deal with it, or I should say most people tend to deal with it when it's on the outside. I mean, the goal is to ultimately be so, you know, in connection with our own inner space, that, you know, you're total flowing with the outer experience because you're totally flowing on the inner experience. In other words, there's nothing left that we don't like about ourselves. That would be the ultimate experience.
Right. And to do that, what you can do, again, to learn really, okay, if you really want to get into this, it's a very simple thing that you can do. Okay.
Please.
Get a mirror, look into your eyes, and say, I love you for who you are, no matter what, and recognize all the resistance that comes up when you say that. Even when you are trying to get it out of your mouth, if you notice that you're having difficulty saying this to yourself, notice what comes up there. That's that resistance. That's that stuff that you want to deal with right then and there.
Right.
Say to yourself, get into this space and just notice what comes up for you emotionally.
Yeah.
I love you for who you are, no matter what. Say it, Goldie.
I love me for who I am, no matter what I am. Well, wait, where's my mirror? I'm going to go to my mirror and say this. You know, before I do this, though, I want to tell you something that came to me while I was hiking today, which was, when I hike, especially because of my incident last night, I mean, I was really going, okay, you know, let's get some clarity. Let's find out what is the roadblock here. And Dawn, you might resonate with this. I don't know. I don't know if this is a female thing or one of the things I got was that, you know, I'm a pretty groovy kind of kid, you know, girl, woman, whatever. Another, you know, I dance and energies and blah 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 blah. And as I was walking, it totally hit me that we're supposed to kind of go back to, like you were saying, back to the feelings like we were when we were children, and that there's a lot of magic in doing that, in the whole curiosity and acceptance and kind of, you know, knowing that you don't know, and all these wonderful aspects about going into a child. And what came up for me, too, was that when we were children, nobody cared what anybody else looked like.
Right.
And it just hit me. It was like, wow, one of my biggest pet peeves or or you know, thorn in the shoe that I'm still working with is this whole idea of what I look like and how that comes into play with my experience with people. And it's like, you know, okay, so with that being said, hi, gorgeous. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I don't consider myself gorgeous, but I do consider myself deep, real. Saying all this, looking in the mirror, going, Goldie, you look like shit.
That's what
I've been hiking
about
all day. All right, well, let me get away from the mirror. I don't know that. Okay, well, you guide me, Jeff. I'm going to stand by the mirror
that's
and you tell
I'm,
me what.
That's
okay.
What I'm talking about. I mean,
wow.
look at how what comes up. I mean, because you're doing this. I am
okay.
Doing nothing but offering you the space to love yourself. And within loving yourself, you will allow all those things that you want to love to come into your life, and look at how you resist it. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, I love you for who you are, no matter what. And look into your eyes, and don't say it until you meet it. Just don't blurt it out.
Okay.
Give yourself a space and just look into your eyes and then say this.
I love you. I do love you.
Now, within that space, can you feel the acceptance that happens? Because when I was dealing with stuff like that and loving myself more, I found out that every time that I said, I love you for who you are, no matter what, and then I'd hear some contradictory word come into my
right.
mind, some contradictory statement.
Right.
And I'd hear this, and I'd freak just for a split second. And then I'd actually talk to the spirit of that statement. And I go, what are you here for? What do you want? What are you trying to show me?
Mm.
And he said, I am you. It's like, I am your thoughts about you. That I am here to tell you. This is what you're thinking. You don't believe this. And this is why you still don't have it. And I'm going, what is it that you want from me? Why are you here? And it kept telling me that negative statement. And then I said, what do you really want to tell me? And then that voice said, I'm the lie, and I want you to know that it's not true, that yes, you do love you, and you do deserve it, and you can't have it. I am only here to show you that there will be those moments of when you will think that you can't, and I want to tell you that you can. So every time you have this negative space, this negative moment come up, you can have communion with it and say, what is it that you really want? And in that moment, because it is there by your command, it is there by your invitation. And you can say, you know what? Uncertainty, you know what, self-doubt, you know what, harsh judgment that I have on me concerning this situation, I now don't need you here anymore. I choose in this moment to get it. I choose in this moment to have counsel with self-love.
Mm.
Even if it's just one atom, one cellular degree of love more than what you've been used to, I invite that space here with me now. I want to counsel with my loving self. I want to know more about who I truly am in this moment. And as you repeat to yourself, I love you for who you are, no matter what, and you have these ideas of judgment that come up about your body, about your finances, about your life, about your hair, about your third eyelash, all of this stuff that comes up and goes, there is no reason for that to be there. And you can love all of those things that come up because that's why they're there.
Mm.
They're there to be loved and accepted because there is no reason why you should not love yourself. Goldie, there is nothing about you that is not lovable. I don't care what you
look
like.
No, and
I don't care what you
I agree, but remember when you were getting to where you are now? You know, it is the journey. I do believe, because I can't even say the word conquer, because I don't believe you conquer self-love. I believe you allow it and you accept self-love. Because one of the things that I am, it's interesting how you have the mirror, you know, being the tool, because if I go long enough without a mirror, I mean a physical mirror, I can't even tell you how beautiful I feel. I feel beautiful. Just the other day, I'm driving home from my boss's house. The people that I work for are very good-looking people. And they're not, you know, movie star good-looking. They're earthy, beautiful people. But, you know, they're societally speaking, they're at a nice weight. They got beautiful facial features. They're Eastern Indian, so they have beautiful, you know, the color in their complexion. And I was driving home going, I was actually thinking to myself, I wonder if, you know, me being overweight, white, no makeup wearing, bandana kind of gal, like if that affects how they treat me. And, you know, it's interesting because when you said I choose to take counsel with self-love, my self-love came and they went, they don't care what you look like. You're taking care of their kids. This is not, a catwalk at a fashion show. You know, you can come and be in, you know, because I have said to them, are you happy with, you know, my work? And they're like, Goldie, we love you. You know, so it's like this. It's the one thing left for me anyways, because I'm okay being a spiritual person, not following, quote-unquote, the dogma of the majority, you know, even though most people are now leaving your basic religions, but I had left religion a while ago. I'm okay with that. I'm okay being self-employed. That also used to be a big thing around here, you know. I'm Jewish. Jewish people are supposed to have the jobs with, you know, paychecks. and my last thing... Huh?
Yeah, you're supposed to be a doctor.
A doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, exactly. I'm supposed to be making tons of money and being my passion around numbers, and that just never happened. And so, you know, I have been a rebel, so to speak, on many levels. But this last thing, and I'm finding it interesting because it is it's part of how I identify. Because what I love that you're saying is once I get this piece down, I was just saying, because tonight me and my friend ended up seeing each other, the one I didn't see last night, and we went out to dinner, and I was like, you know, there's a lot of magic happening around me. People getting jobs, and, you know, my friend is creating this incredible business, you know, $8 billion business type of thing, and I go, my dream is to have a baby. You know, when I think about that, I'm like, listen, people are doing it in Uganda. People are doing it in Japan. This is, you don't really need an education. You don't need a lot of money. It's not that I have a lack of suitors, so to speak. I mean, I was like, why is it the thing I'm trying to create, the magic, the passion, the power of my life, and I can't do this? And Jeff, I think you really nailed it, because I think it's a lack of me loving myself.
Mm-hmm.
The baby won't come through, because I have a feeling once I get through this, I'll be at a frequency where I can really bring in one of these magical kids that are, you know, there's a frequency.
Okay.
I've got to be able to hold that in as a gestation, and I'm not going to be able to hold it if I don't love myself.
Mm-hmm. And look at and see if this feels accurate for you.
Okay.
Look at what you would be using that child as an excuse to do, which would be to totally and completely live the life of your dreams, because now you have another life that you're going to be responsible for, and you're going to be sure that it will have a good life.
You mean so once you I over
have,
overcome this?
Once you have the baby would be an excuse to show ultimate love to yourself, because it's not just you anymore.
Right.
And when you're thinking that, well, it's just me, I can get by somehow, I don't need much, and you're
that's
thinking,
so
look
true.
How much, look at that's how so look at how little you're thinking of yourself in that moment. But when you think of when you think more of yourself, when you love more of yourself, that's where you will match up and have those things that you want. Because again, baby or not, it's that excuse to love yourself as if you were having this child, because the child is nothing more than the excuse to love you.
Right. Well, that's very true. Well, and, cause, and again, I mean, the only other thing I would really like to do is I would really, you know, a significant other would be nice. You know, right now I literally joke with everybody, my significant other is the forest, because the forest makes me happy, the forest brings me into balance. The forest has never let me down. I mean, I go in a mess, I come out shiny and new. I mean, it's undeniable. People, on the other hand, I tend to be a little more like, I'm not as understanding of my dance with them as I do the forest. You know, the forest asks nothing for me and gives me everything. And people, I'm a little immature in the people department. Dawn knows this just from working with me from New York.
But Goldie, the people don't have, it's your idea that they have expectations.
It's my, right, okay.
You know, so the people can be exactly the same as the forest.
Really?
Yes.
Really.
Okay. Just knowing that brings me hope. I mean that sincerely, too.
You know,
so,
because it's your relationship. It's your relationship with you that you're reflecting outwards. So
okay.
When you can be in the forest and you can be unconditional and you can be vulnerable and you can be magical and you can be harmonious, that is, you know, that is your true self.
Indeed.
When you are with the people, all of a sudden you go, oh, are they going to accept me?
Yeah.
And it's really you saying, am I accepting me to be
right.
the same person in the woods as I am here right now?
It's very true. That's right on the money, Dawn. I mean, that's right on the money. Because I can feel it, too. I mean, and like I said, the judgments just start coming. You know, am I pretty enough? It's always around my looks. And like I said, it hit me today that, you know, it's kind of like, it does appear to me, or it feels to me, I'm sensing that consciousness right now, the least of it is what we look like. You know, that's the least of what's influencing our lives today. And yet I still seem to be in that conditioned state of, you know, is your hair done? Do you have your makeup on? Are you, you know, a nice thin girl? Because that's how you're going to attract, you know, your next boyfriend. It plays in my head.
Yeah, I should send you this email I got today. It's this circle of pink dots.
Okay.
And there's an X in the, a little teeny X in the middle. And you look, you know, you kind of look at the dots going around and they kind of start flashing, like
okay.
each one flashes. Well, then you look in the center and all of a sudden each pink dot in order turns green.
Oh, wow.
And if you look long enough, I guess, I didn't get that far.
Okay.
All the pink circles go away, and just a green circle shows up in every space. And at the end of the email, it says, there is no green.
Huh.
This shows you the illusions that your mind plays.
Right.
And so my belief is how do we even know that I see the same green as you.
Right.
You know, how do we know that my green isn't read to you.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's our world. And I would say if we went to the woods, we would see something similar.
Right.
But we would see many things that the other didn't see.
Right, right. And seeing, I mean, we can really expand that word to sensing.
Right.
Because it's more than just what physically we're seeing. I mean, this is all, you know, because that, you know, beauty is such a, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I mean, I know that I have, you know, people in my life that genuinely feel I am beautiful. But as Jeff was saying, if I don't feel beautiful, I don't think, you know, we really don't accept it then from anybody. Whether they feel it or not, if we don't feel it from self, you know, it's really, it's not experienced until it's felt or sensed by self.
Well, it's experienced in the way that if I say, I love you, and I tell you that you're beautiful, you feel it, but you feel it in the form of judgment where you go, no, I'm not. No, that's when you feel it. So
oh.
It's not like you don't feel it. You're feeling the contrast of how you are judging yourself. And let's play with this because, you know, like I said, I'm happy with myself, and so I can be happy with anybody if that's what I choose. And you know why we use this word attractive and we say this person is attractive and this person is not?
Mm.
Well, let's look at it because we've got it in the context of people. Let's put it in the context of other things that we could see in our life. The forest that you go to, I would imagine for you that place is very attractive. Now, would you know of any person that could look at a golden retriever puppy and say that it is not cute?
No.
That it is not attractive?
No.
Do you know why that puppy, that forest, that person, that thing, that whatever you use as an excuse and you say, I like it, do you know why it's attractive?
Why?
Because in that moment, it is full of itself. It is full of its self-love. It is full of its self-appreciation. It is full of its joy, of its passion, of its delicious zest for the existence that it finds with itself. And it says, yes, I like it. And that's why.
That was,
and that's why it's attractive.
The crowd is going crazy. That's exactly, because you know what? That is the answer to consciousness. Because, see, when we're filled from within, there is no taking from the outside. You're just giving. You can only share when you're filled from within. When you're not filled from within because of your own self-doubt, your own judgment, whatever it is, but it is all self-created, it's almost like there's nothing on the outside that can fill us if we don't. In other words, we have the capability of cutting off all source to come in because it's really never coming in from the outside, is it? It's always coming from within and then just being expressed and shared on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
That is so brilliant.
But you see how simplistically powerful that is?
Yeah.
That's what it means when you're keeping on top of how you like to fool yourself and saying that I'm not lovable. And you go, yeah, you're not because this, 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 and this. And you want to know how you can make it even more true? Let's pull a little bit of the scientific aspect into this. I don't know where you are, Goldie, but can you move into a space where you can just really observe what you have within the room, okay?
Okay, okay. Yeah.
Now,
I'm in a swivel chair, so.
Okay,
okay.
Cool. So now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at how you observe yourself and how this coincides with your mind, okay?
Okay.
And with your belief about things.
Okay.
Okay, so it's multi-layered here.
Okay.
So now, we're just going to do the exercise just as it is.
Okay.
Okay. So close your eyes.
Okay.
And then open your eyes and look around the room to see the color brown.
Okay.
Got brown in the room? Okay, cool. Close
your eyes.
Okay. Now, when you open your eyes, I want you to look around the room and see if you can see the color blue.
Open them now?
Yep, open the mouth and look for the color blue.
Blue. Okay.
Okay, now close your eyes.
Okay.
And then now look around the room for the color red. Open your eyes.
Okay.
Now close your eyes again. Now when you open your eyes, I'd like you to look for the color orange within the room. Open your eyes.
Okay.
Now, last time, close your eyes. And now when you open your eyes, give yourself a moment and take in all of the colors in the room. Did the room become more vibrant? Did the room become more alive? How did it feel to you?
See, I'm such a head case because I was like, I looked for green because I was hey, green,
okay.
And
okay.
I go, he's gonna ask me where the green is because I've heard this before, but I didn't remember how it worked. And see, I'm a head case, so I was not totally surrendering to. So when I kept going, just remember the green. Even though it's my room, it's not like I'm not in here almost every single day. I mean, so I apologize for not playing. But
No, this is beautiful because you've done exactly what you needed to do to understand this because you're right, you have heard this before from me, but I'm flipping the interpretation of it now. Okay, so now if the room did not become more vibrant with color, if it didn't become more alive because you weren't taking it all in, because you were focused on the color green, you wanted me to say green?
Right.
Okay, green's here, Jeff. Say green. You can say green, Jeff. I can see green. All right. Now, what's happening here is that within your mind, okay, and within your belief, okay, first off, your belief was you can see color, okay?
Yeah.
And because of the fact that you believe that you can see color, you saw it. And you saw all of the different colors. And you saw one color that stood out within the room that had a lot of your attention, either if it was a lot of green or if it was a lot of brown. There was one color in that room that had a lot of your attention. And because you recognized that color the most, that was in your vibration and that was your attraction factor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, why you recognize it that way, why you believe it to be true, there is a part within your brain that's called the reticular activating system, the RAS. And that's the part of your brain that when you believe it, your brain points it out to you.
Right.
And you see it. And so if you believe that you see color, then your brain says, yes, you can see color. And it's right there. Now let's put this on the things that you want in your life. Can you see how you love yourself? No. Can you see how you judge yourself? Oh, hell yes. I can see how I judge myself here, here, and here. And I don't like the way my eyebrow, one eyebrow is thicker than the other. And my God, I've got one foot that seems like it's swollen and my other knee is just so. You can see all of those ways that
right.
you have that judgment against yourself. But the moment you can reintroduce the focus on, because it's that part of your brain, the reticular activating system, that says this is what you believe, and so this is what you see. And when you have something that you bring into your experience that you want to believe, but you really haven't gotten yourself to feel like you can believe it yet, then that's why you're not seeing it. That's
well,
why
that
you're not experiencing
it. Doesn't that kind of make why I've been seeing all these lies lately on TV, and it's literally in my field of awareness.
And
so
only
I'm
you
seeing
can
it everywhere.
Why it's there. Yes, and only you can define why it's there. Now, are you seeing lots of lies because you want to see truth, or are you seeing lots of lies because you're still lying to yourself? Only you can answer that question.
I feel it's because I want to see truth.
Okay, then you can take it as that.
Right. Well, and that's also why I believe this conversation is taking place, because I want the life I've dreamt about. And the life I've dreamt about is really, like I said, a pretty basic life. Now, that's funny because as soon as I said that, I know that's not. Now, there's nothing basic about Goldie. You know, it might look at, from appearances like just, you know, I'm looking for a man. I'm looking to have a child. I'm looking to live in our magic, share in our wisdom, go through this, you know, this consciousness and the human awakening that we're going through. You know, there's nothing basic about that. And whatever is blocking me in my truth, I want to see that. And tonight's show is really showing me what's blocking me is, because this was another thing I got. Be lie is in the word believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, huh. Beliefs are kind of based on lies. Because the truth is, we're love. It's not even just that we want to be loved. We are love. I mean, that's the order of the day. We're made of love, and everything else that tells us we're not is just incorrect, an illusion, and not truth. And, you know, it's like, because, you know, how would love see me? Love would see, you know, my flaws, not as flaws, but character or interesting. You know, it's like, you know, we don't want a whole society of, what is those, the women that all get the plastic surgery and all look alike, the Stepford Wives. You know, I have talked to several gentlemen of all races and ages, and, you know, they're like, they go to strip joints and they're like, it's not even fun anymore when all the women all look alike, you know, with implants. And he's like, you know, it's nice to see variety, that people are hungry for diversity. And, you know, that includes noses that look different than everybody else's nose, and, you know, eyes. And, you know, in other words, the thing that everybody's trying to correct them their way out, that becomes the beauty of diversity. And, but I have to know this. See, that's the thing. I'm starting to understand. This isn't about believing it. There's one choice, to know. To know self-love is the only truth there is, because it's what we are. It's what I am. I have to know it. Because if I say I believe it, then I'm still doubting it, because it's a belief is less, you know, impactful than a know, K-N-O, mm-hmm. You know, a knowing. That's yeah. What tonight is showing me.
And that's, I mean, one of the things that you are echoing so beautifully with this, because we are dealing with your idea of consciousness within the moment. And this is what you will be doing all the time. And you see, you can never get it wrong, because you're never going to be done. Goldie, just like with the rest of us on this planet, if you'll take another moment with me here
And
recognize that since we are more than this physical body, and there's only a piece of us that we will recognize and see that is inhabiting this body, that we are so much more than this physical body.
Mm.
Within the idea of the creative consciousness, the love intelligence, we have no beginning and we have no ending. And what you are witnessing and what you are experiencing is your continuum.
Mm. Now that's deep. But that's absolute truth.
And even playing with love and trying to confine love, you know, love does not or even recognize flaws. Love only sees what is.
Right. Well, because it's like you were saying, when somebody's lying, they still know the truth. Because in order to base the lie, they had to know the truth to begin with.
Yes.
So that whole idea to say that we, you know, forget that, I like talking first person. For me ever to say, I don't know what self-love is, that's an impossibility.
Yeah.
Because by expressing not self-love, it already shows me I know what self-love is. I mean, that's another, like, wow, living a life of no opposites. I mean, that's a big card. That card comes up in my Key Vesta spread, and like, I understood it, but tonight's clarity is, you know, is worthy of applause, but I'll hold back.
Oh, see, that's it. Oh, like, right, I mean, because cool, right there. Why not take the time to appreciate yourself? Because isn't that what all of this is about anyway, and this is why we want to do this?
show our appreciation. Why not applaud for you? No one else is going to applaud for you until you applaud for you first.
Rock and roll, babe. Rock and roll. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. I wasn't sure if the applause were bothering you guys. It is my new button, and I must admit I'm having quite a good time with it. But you're absolutely right that I am I'm low-key about myself, and that is – it's interesting because in my being low-key about myself, I sometimes overcompensate, making it much louder than it has to be instead of the real humility and the intensity of that humility because there's fear involved. You know, so that overcompensate. It's just so fascinating because to understand the opposite is really that's what I believe is, you know, that's equivalent to an omnipotent, you know what I mean? To genuinely see everything from the space of truth. Even the illusion is a space of truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know about you, but that you know, that just made everything clear for me.
What do you have on that, Dawn?
Well, I guess I don't know where to go with that. That's pretty deep.
Go with the
you
feeling.
Know?
You're good at because here's where some of my unclarity comes. I can know this intellectually. Now it's about understanding, because it's like what Jeff was saying earlier, no dark feelings. Because I think now what I got to do is take the definitions of my feelings and reorchestrate them as well.
Well, I think we can apply the no opposites to feelings also.
Mm.
And
how though? I mean,
and the no judgment on it. You know, if you're angry, allow yourself to feel angry in the best way, you know,
in the
possible.
Right.
In the moment.
Right.
You know, not lashing out at others or whatever.
Right.
And don't judge it. You know, it's not a wrong feeling.
Right.
You know, I mean, it just is in that moment. It's come up. Okay, I'm going to just feel this and let it flow. The thing is the universe has provided all this opportunity for us to create. And it's all perfect.
Right. So
you know,
true.
It's all flowing moment by moment as it should. And when we feel otherwise, that's when we start to get
stuck.
Hung up on stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite simply put, when you are looking at things and when you have this idea that you need to control things. Notice how I said that.
Yeah.
Need to con yourself into controlling this and thinking that this needs to be a certain way that so that you can feel good.
Mm.
And again, it comes back to that point of you don't feel peace because you are trying to control something.
Right.
And if you are in a place of acceptance, then there is no need to control. Because if you really want to learn how to get a handle on your controlling things, okay, well, if you can control something, Goldie, Dawn, do you need to be worried about it?
No. Well,
because you can control it. If you have control of something, there's no need for you to be worried because
right.
You have control of it. So, if you don't have control over something, if there is no way that you can adjust the outcome of something happening, should you worry?
No.
Do you feel the peace that you have when you decide
to let go of the idea that you need to control something, which is linked to expectations, which is linked to having a certain way of things being so that you can choose to be happy rather than just allow yourself to be the happiness that you are.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's what I got last night. Absolutely. Meaning when I let go of control, because I'm very conscious about this as from what I'm instilling in Anya and her sister Sahana, my nanny kids, because, like, you know, I want to instill confidence and I want to instill self-awareness and self-trust, and control, in all honesty, seems to be anything but those experiences when you're dealing with kids.
Right. Because, you know, the kids know, I would imagine for you, the kids know, I know when I was a child, and, you know, because I'm still a child in most ways, because I look at myself like this. I'm not the age that I am now. I am every age that I have ever been.
Mm.
Do you see how within that place I accept everything about me, everything in my life, everything that I've done, the light and dark sides, if there were any in my life, because I am every age that I have ever been. And when I am that, when I look at my life with the innocence, and I mean in no sense like a child, nothing is bad. Nothing is wrong, because I am in my joyful spot, my joyful place. And you said something that Dawn told you gave you hope. And even in my, I have an acronym for HOPE. It is harmony observed perfectly. Harmony observed in perfect expansion.
Nice.
That is the internal idea of hope. And even with everything that we've been talking about tonight, it's just an idea that we use as an excuse for happiness. Well, again, the idea is an internal description of expanding alignment. Now, we're talking about this in a positive fashion, but even with the idea, it can be used in the negative fashion. Depends on how you are using it, because as you see, with myself, with Dawn, and with you, we are all sharing our internal description of expanding alignment, but we're not making it mandatory for the other person to believe what we believe so that we can get along. And that is the space of really allowing. That is the space of understanding that you can believe what you believe. I will choose what's good for me. And there will be great joy within the expressing and the sharing of our added joyfulness. Because I don't expect you to be like me, and then you won't get any of my negative feedback because you're not meeting my expectations.
Right, right. That's very interesting because, you know, I do have a belief too. Now, I should say I'm going to call this one a knowing. I have a knowing. All paths lead to source. In other words, we're all getting there. I know that. Now, everybody's choice on how they want to get there, you know, because I always tell people, religions are kind of like flavors. And then as you outgrow the religion, even spirituality comes in flavors. And then as you outgrow that, even galactics come in flavors. You know, it's like everything comes in a multitude of expressions because there is not just one road. I mean, it ultimately will lead to, you know, I think an awareness that we're love. That is where the road is leading to. But the journey, the path are, you know, 6 billion and going strong because you could, this is not an equation that could work as like a standard because there's way too many elements that from a personal level, you know, this whole God game is very personal. And as long as it's personal, everything's going to have a chance to shine, you know, whether it's the skinny people, the fat people, the tall people, the short people, the black people, the white people, the purple people, the green people. You know what I mean? It's like everything inevitably will have a space because that's the nature of diversity in an ecosystem. Everything plays its part. I mean, that's...
And I'm so glad you said that because you tapped onto one of the biggest false premises that is relevant within our planet now, that in this false premise is that there is one God that has come up and made up a final decision about everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're also playing into the fact that we have this idea of right and wrong, of good and bad, when actually it can be just truth and error. And again, if there are so many different ways to recognize God in everything, then why can't there be all these different ways to worship that same divinity?
Of course. In fact, it would have to be that way.
Yes.
It would have to be that way.
Yes, and if you want to play within the wrong realm too, because if it gets you to choose peace, then that is where you most want to be within that moment. And if you can choose peace, then the people that are closest to you within their observation of you choosing peace will learn how that they can do that for themselves.
Well, you know what's interesting that you're saying this? Have you ever heard the thought that light workers, quote-unquote light workers, are like the most judgmental people on the planet?
Oh, God, yes. When I told you about, you know, when people think, oh, I see you, Jeff, I see you so much, and then do I go around the corner that they're giving me guff or they're telling somebody, he's an asshole, I swear to God, you know, doing the exact opposite. But the moment they're in my face, oh, I see you, you're beautiful, all is well. I'm a light worker. There's no way I can have a dark side, and yet they're suppressing themselves all the time. Like
right.
Goldie, throughout your life, and I asked you in the very beginning of the show, how often do you let yourself love and recognize yourself? How often do you let you be you all the time? I said that to a friend of mine, and I phrased it in a way that I said, have you ever just let yourself be in your company and not think that you have to get something done or that you have to be something for someone else? And she said, hardly ever. And I thought, wow.
She must be exhausted.
Yes, she was. She's tired.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
I know a woman like that as well. It's exhausting. I listen to her life and I go, and what's the funny part about it, it's not even producing well. You know, the constant going, because she's like, what should I do? And I'm like, just sit still. And she's like, that's incredibly difficult for me. And I was like, I understand that, but that is indeed what will help you to understand why all this running towards a goal is not producing anything for you, because she really does. She's like, I don't, you know, this is about jobs and filling out resumes and getting, you know, making calls, trying to get, she's like, they're not even responding. She's like, I'm sending out a ton of resumes. They're not even calling me with a courtesy call to say I didn't get it. And I'm like, I was like, well, you and 100,000 other people are doing it. You know, this magic is in the world right now. You really got to go within. And if you go within and do the work within and really create and manifest first from within the being, they'll be calling you. Or something will land in your life. Because I remember I was working for, this is about 2 years ago, for 4 years I was working for a temp agency. And I loved it because I'm nannying now going on 19 years. 2010 is 19 years. And For most of the time, I was, you know, one family, and I liked infants and toddlers. So it's not even just that I was with one family for like 3 to 5 years. With infants and toddlers, you're basically in one room for like the first year, you know, because a lot of these parents don't want you going in the car, and they're babies. It's not like, I mean, you can walk, but it's a very limited scope in how far you take the baby. So I literally got to the point where it was like the woman who was running the nanny agency, we must have been a mother-daughter in another lifetime. And truth be told, she started disciplining me, in my personal opinion, incorrectly. But what was worse was she was disciplining me by taking my jobs away. I mean, she at one point said, you're going 3 weeks without pay. And I was like, I'm 40 years old. You don't take my pay. you know, you want to send me into the courtroom and put the dunce hat on. I'll play these games with you, but you can't, I got to pay rent. You cannot mess with my income. That just, it tipped me over, and I was like, okay, I need to leave. But I was like, well, how am I gonna find another space where I can do these temping? Because I love the idea that I was going to different houses all the time. And I mean, I had favorite families that asked for me back, but there was variety, and I loved the variety. Well, to make a long story short, essentially the day I got the courage to say, listen, whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen, Anya's family stepped up to the plate. I had a date with her. That day she goes, listen, you know, we need somebody once a week. Are you interested? And then from there it led to they moved from Stamford to Wilton, and it just so happens they now literally live 3 minutes from where I live. And my job has increased dramatically. This family knows the people Jay is working with, who is my friend we went out to dinner tonight. It's like, put it this way, there is this divine timing. There's this divine dance going on where I'm getting put into a space with amazing people, amazing kids. It's what I feel is my second half of life's experiences. For the nannying, once I have my own kid, I don't even know what's going to happen from that point. I mean, more than likely, I'll probably just take my kid with me. But the reason why I'm saying that, so in other words, I just trusted. I had no idea what I was going to do when I quit the temporary agency, because that was how I was making my living for 4 years. And it seemed the day I quit, the day I made the choice, let's put that, the day I made the choice, that day something happened, because I do choose to do the work. To me, the magic is work your inside. You know, follow your intuition, follow your heart. Our hearts don't want us to be unemployed. Our hearts simply want us to be employed with passion. Our hearts don't support us working in cubicles, you know, doing work that, you know, a monkey could do, getting paid minimum wage, you know, putting up with, we tend to put up with a lot of bullshit on our jobs in fear that we couldn't, you know, our sustenance wouldn't support us. And it's like, I mean, Dawn, you must recognize this from all the Almeen work. It's all about our sustenance supporting us. You know, if your insides aren't feeling it, your outsides are clearly going to reflect that chaos or, you know, bad experience. Did I go off point? Sorry.
Well, you know, it's really funny because I have come across people recently, though, who have decided to choose that, who've
okay.
decided to choose, I just want a job, 9 to 5, making money and going home to be with my husband, to be with my family, whatever.
Right.
And that's what I choose, and that's what I say makes me happy. And in my head, I go, but what do you want in life?
Yeah, that sounds
flat. That's what they say to me. And another part of me goes, gosh, how cool is that, that they're in that moment, and I have no other reason to believe than that is their truth.
Right.
And good for them. They are not seeking.
Right.
You know, they're not unsatisfied and seeking something greater, or at least in their work.
Well, in their whole experience. I mean, because that is definitely a common factor between light workers, the seeking. Because, and Jeff, this totally kind of comes into play by, you know, the technique, so to speak, or the awarenesses that you teach. If you're seeking, that means you're not content with what is. You know, something, you're seeking something other than what is. That's the nature of seeking. Because, I mean, my teacher is the Crimson Circle right now is going, stop looking for signs that you're a master. You are a master. Start looking for signs that show that you are the master. Stop looking for to push your consciousness out into expansion. You're already expanded. Now become aware that you're already expanded.
Right.
And those are very, they're subtle, but they're huge differences because, I mean, for me, I totally understand the energy of seeking. Oh, my God, I've been seeking most of my life. And ironically, working around the Almeen work is what I finally got, like, okay, I'm not seeking anymore. I am stretched beyond. I'm out of my comfort zone. And I have met my match because whether it's Almeen, her work, the wheels, I mean, it clearly puts my consciousness in a space where it's like, you know, I am on tilt constantly.
Here, I got something for you.
Okay.
Let's check this out.
Okay.
See how this feels for you.
Okay.
You are every problem that you will ever have, and you
okay.
are also the answer to every problem that you will ever have. You can switch yourself from becoming a seeker and allow yourself to become the finder.
Oh, that's hot. Wait a minute, babe. Wait a minute. Ready? Yay! Encore! Encore! Because that's exactly, that is the truth, and everyone has that option.
Mm-hmm. It's that point of where they will they allow that for themselves? Because, and feel into how this can be for you. I sit here and I look at myself and I go, I'm going to find more ways to love myself. Ooh, ooh. And just with that statement, I go, oh, I can create more ways to love myself. It's not the fact that I'm acknowledging that I wasn't loving myself. I love myself to whatever degree that I was doing. But I'm making that statement and that choice, I'm going to love myself more. And do you know how much happier I'm going to be when I do that? Do you know how much more happier people are going to be around me when I'm doing that? Because when I'm happy, they can choose to be happy. And if they're not choosing to be happy, I'm still going to choose to be happy. And I'm going to be loving myself more because of it. And I'm going to be full of myself, and I'm going to be attracted to what I'm doing. I'm going to be attracting the things that I want in my life, not because I don't have them, but I will be a instant manifestation of living my dream, because my dream is my direct reality expressed and manifesting. My dream is happening here right now. The house that Dawn and I live in, it is a beautiful, beautiful place. When I think about living my grand dream, it's just a magnification of what we presently have. The house of my dreams, it's going to have a bigger backyard. We're going to have a bigger fireplace in the home that we have now. We're going to have more spaces to put the things that we enjoy about ourselves, about our lives, on display. But my big grand dream, no matter what that might be, a house in the Caymans or whatever that might be, it is nothing but a magnification of how I'm living my life here.
Right. Right.
And I say to myself, I am here. I am not fooling myself of living in the future. And I say, I am here. And I say, yes, sir, I am here.
Right.
And I get to see my dream manifest itself right here in my present moment experience.
Yeah, well, that's where gratitude comes. You know, if you notice what you don't have, you just, that thing you were saying with the brain, it's just going to keep pointing out ways that you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people are like, how am I supposed to feel abundant, you know, without anything in the bank account? And I'm like, boy, you know, when did abundance only become, you know, dollars and cents? It's like, that's
right.
When I'm like, go to the woods. You want to, I feel so abundant in the woods, and I feel abundantly loved. I feel abundantly at one with my planet. You know, I mean, we get very narrow in our focus, and that's with anything. You know, I remember for the longest time, I used to focus on my soulmate, quote unquote, the male that was going to become my husband. Was the, you know, I would go on a date, and I was one of those terrible people. You know, within the first 2 hours of the date, it would be like, okay, so what are your plans on marriage? You know, clearly they weren't calling me back for a second date. because I just was like, I can remember saying to my friends, listen, this is really just a trial period because those that aren't marriage worthy aren't, I shouldn't be dating them anyways. And of course, what ended up happening is I was dating nobody. And then it started coming to the question of, you know, I really went, if I'm saying the only way I'm going to find love is to find a husband and get married, there's an excellent chance I'm going to go through the rest of this lifetime very unhappy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to shift this. And that's when the first thing I shifted to was, you know, you have love all around you, Goldie. Your friends love you, you know, endlessly into pieces. So that was my first experience. Then I actually opened it up to nature. I mean, I have never been so deeply touched by love as I am when I'm in nature. I mean, literally, where if I'm sad, I come out of the woods, and like you were saying earlier, I am fulfilled. And nothing on the outside of my life, per se, has changed. In other words, I'm not dating somebody, or I'm not, you know, in my first trimester of being pregnant. It's, for me, it is just, because I tell everybody, it doesn't have to be the woods for you. I do think everybody should have an element of nature in their life, because the connection with the planet is a first step of being an acknowledging our expanded beingness, because inevitably, you know, we're going to have to acknowledge we're also galactic, and now we're talking universes and cosmos, but, you know, that's a big step. Let's first just get involved that we're also part plant kingdom, we're also part dirt, and we're also part rocks. I mean, that really is a truth to who we are, but unless you're willing to connect with it and experience it, it's going to appear separate, because that's the belief, you know, I'm not the rocks. It's like, oh, yes, you are.
Right. I mean, because what's really beautiful about what you said there, and you really tapped onto it, for as far as, again, this unconscious thing that happens within our thought structure, this idea of separation.
Yeah.
Because we have the idea of nature referring to the woods, and then not nature referring to the man-made cities. And I'm going, hold on for a second. It's all nature. It's all, how are we different from as far as a social structure, for as far as being in nature as compared to a beehive?
Well,
Think about this for a minute, because, you know, you have the place where all of us are living, and you have the places of where we all go out and we do those things to find peace. Now, that's the only difference that I would even think of, but for me, it is all nature. So even when we are in the city, and, you know, for as far as the woods, it's all nature for us. But what's happening, it's how we feel about it. You know, when you're talking about, you know, being connected and having this soulmate, you know, for as far as all of these definitions that we give our lives, these words that we use,
right?
It's not so much the words that we use, it's how we feel as we use them.
Now, that's, I could not agree more. Because personally, like, I was in New York City last weekend for the New York Life Expo. And I'll tell you, we literally went over, I don't know, some bridge, something, or I could feel when I got very close to the city. I mean, I could feel it in my being, the movement and the intensity of being in New York, as opposed to being in the woods. Now, I agree that everything is ultimately nature. In other words, it came from Earth. It's Earth. But in a city, there's a lot more, and this is in any man-made structure, there tends to be more of these, you know, the EMF frequencies, which, if you're not conscious of them, they might not affect you. But if you are sensitive, they can be very effective on making you not feel so good, where when you're in the woods, there's not a whole lot of electrical currents going through there. So from that perspective, for me, I feel better. In other words, I can find my balance without electrical currents, where when I'm in electrical currents, if I'm already twisted and out of balance, I mean, I went to the city, and I was like, this is spirituality on crack.
However, there is electricity in the woods, too.
From an EMF standpoint?
Well, it's just how you choose to connect with it. I understand that they've told us this is how it affects us.
Right.
They've also said in the woods, this is how it affects us.
Right.
However, I would agree with you. I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, my anxiety level goes up when I get into the city.
Right.
And other people don't, because that's how they grew up. I mean, other people get into the country that grew up in the city, and they don't know what to do.
It's too quiet. I've literally heard people say, how do you go to sleep? It's so quiet.
I mean, there is kids that are being diagnosed with nature deficit now.
What? That's an actual diagnosis?
That's an actual diagnosis.
Nature deficit. Wow.
Think about an anthill or a beehive.
Okay.
If you fully immersed yourself in the energy of an anthill or a beehive, what do you think the energy is there?
It's hive mentality. It is. But I'll be honest with you. The one thing that's different from those beings and people is there is a sense of oneness consciousness. In other words, everybody is in tune with everybody, working for the harmony of the whole. Well, I see, but I guess that's also a belief because I'm thinking about the... Wait. Come on, everybody.
Oh, I'm so glad you made that point, Dawn. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, okay. So this is just my brain telling me that the woods... So that's just one of those belief systems I because I didn't need to change it, I am assuming it has more truth to it than one of those that I need to change.
It's that mind game.
Pardon?
And again, it's that mind game.
Right.
And again, your mind was telling you all of that. But when we're, and what we've been talking about is the essence of being who we are. And if we're talking about love, then we're talking about total acceptance.
Right.
Most people talk about, you know, spiritual or otherwise, but you really see it magnified in the spiritual community. That, yes, I want to love unconditionally, but then they find themselves loving with even more conditions than they had before.
Indeed.
Because now they're taking on other people's belief systems.
Right.
They're playing with the idea of this is truly right and this is going to be truly wrong. I only want this to be for the greatest good. And I'm going, do you even know what the greatest good is for as far as, you know, you making a choice?
Right.
Perhaps that's
for self. Only for self. Right.
Yes.
Right.
And recognizing that the joy that you can have and everything about your life, for as far as your life is concerned, your life is going to bottom out to how you feel about your life. And how you feel about your life, you have the power to choose.
Right. Right.
Nothing that you'll ever experience is going to get away from those two pieces.
Right. Well, that's what another one of the cards, release the need to save others. That's one of the Key Vesta cards. I don't mean to keep bringing them up, but they're just a major part of my experience right now. So.
Oh, that's fine. I don't have a problem.
Okay. Yeah, because you're very... this has been
all...
deep, guys. This is
well, yeah, this,
this
is more than one way to get to the party.
You know how we get to the party? We ride the applause button. Yay! Donnie, am I giving you a headache with this button?
No.
Okay. I wanted, and you would tell me the truth, right? Because I would. I'm happy to either lower the volume or not hit it anymore. Because I just want to make sure you're enjoying this as much as I know Jeff is. I can sense it, you know, and he communicates beautifully. Okay.
You guys can do whatever you want. It doesn't affect me.
Perfect acceptance. See, now that's a panel, boy. A panel that accepts everything. This is why I love having you guys on the show. I mean. It really is. I mean, and Dawn, I've known that you have a wonderful, for me, I mean, I don't get along with everybody. And, of course, I'm clearly getting, I don't get along with everybody because I don't get along with myself. But until I have full conscious awareness of total self-love, you know, spending time in New York when I was doing, you know, deep
deep down the rabbit hole work with Almeen, you know, having you as, you know, a comrade and partner in crime was just beyond perfect for me, because you just have, from my point of view, your demeanor is very, very accepting and just gentle, you know, where I'm Ricochet Rabbit, and I am bouncing off walls. Because I always said to myself, you know, because my friend Jay, we were talking tonight, I was like, you know, he was like, I go, what are some of the things I can do to start creating the man of my dreams? And he said, write down all the qualities you like about every boyfriend you've ever had. And he goes, don't just write them down, feel them, feel into it. And, you know, that resonated for me because I think part of the magic is that we have to declare what it is we want. It's like everybody's so afraid to make a choice, myself included. I mean, and it's like I think part of the magic right now is really if we put our focus into something, it will manifest. You know, I mean.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Here's a good example of that.
Okay.
I've decided I'm an artist.
Okay.
Never would have thought I was an artist, but I've decided I'm an artist. And so I got a call from a friend. She's doing a fundraiser, 500,000 meals for Haiti.
Wow.
And she says, Dawn, someone said that maybe you'd do some of your artwork to help with the energy of this event and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I was like,
sweet.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I did my first really big piece. And I said to her, I said, you know, it would be really cool if a copy of this went in every box and went to Haiti, and all this energy and this love in a physical form went there. And
wow.
She's like, wow, that's a really cool idea, but how are we going to do that? I said, don't worry, I'll figure it out.
No fear, Dawn, you go, girl.
I'm in the process right now of having 2,400
wow
copies made.
Wow.
With a little blessing to go in all these packages to Haiti. And how cool is that?
That's phenomenal. Let me just ask you a question. Is it orange and yellow? Is there a color to it?
Some of it is orange and yellow, yes.
That's what I'm seeing. I was just curious if that's...
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, if you scan it, shoot me a link of it so I can see it.
I did. I'll send it to you.
All right. Fabulous. Fabulous. We only have 2 minutes left. First of all, how do you guys feel about being like regulars?
Cool.
Oh, I'm open for it. Yeah, sure.
Outstanding. Okay. I thought about that today in the woods, and I was like, you know, I'm thinking like if it morphs into once a month and we get you on, you know, like I got Thursdays are covered in the month. You know, it's so funny because there's a commitment here. Do you feel it? There's a commitment.
trigger.
I'm telling you. But we really go into some wonderful stuff. I have an absolute comfort level. The dynamic. I'm finding shows that I have two or three guests is such an exquisite dynamic because with three of us, we really do cover many perceptions that for the listener, one of us is saying their perception, you know what I mean, from a general point of view. So,
mm-hmm.
All right, good, because I have booked through May and some of June, but I think what we're going to end up doing is morphing us, you know, if you guys are open to it, to inevitably, like, you know, first Thursday of the month, Dawn and Jeff, if you guys are open to it. So,
sure.
Cool.
I think we do good shows, so... Let's do more of them.
Absolutely.
Works for me. All right, very cool. All right, let's give out websites and all those wonderful things.
Oh, you can find us at synergy.com. That is www.c CINNERG.com, and you can find out more about myself and Dawn.
Okay, are you guys open to sharing your Facebook pages? Are you looking for Facebook followers?
Sure, they can find us on Facebook.
At?
I don't know. Look up Jeffrey Hutcherson on Facebook, and you'll find me.
Okay, there you go.
I don't know how to find, you know, for as far as...
I think they need your email. They find you by email.
Oh, really?
I believe so.
Okay, so my email is the hot one, DAHOTWON at earthlink.net.
That's hot. Dawn, do you have, you have a Facebook page. Do you want to share that?
Page. Sure, it's, my email is dmleader, L-E-A-D-E-R, at earthlink.net.
Awesome. Because I'll be honest with you, I got a lot of following from Facebook, so whenever I have people on that are from Facebook, hey, let's all share the Facebook, because I'm goldenhawkfeather at yahoo.com. Anyone that asks to be my friend, nobody's denied, everybody's accepted. And you guys, you rocked it again. I had an amazing time tonight. Thank you both for your energy, your wisdom, your consciousness. Big group hug. Big group hug.
Love you,
group
Goldie.
Hug. I love you too, Dawn. I love you, Jeff. And I will get in touch with you guys. Yes, love. I will be in touch the next show. I got to figure it out.
Okay.
But you guys have an amazing night. And next week is William White Cloud, who wrote the book The Magician's Way. Should be a pretty good show. Everybody have an amazing week. Try not to kill each other and, you know, just accept everything exactly. This is my Key Vesta thing. Experience life and surrender to the perfection of now. Rock and roll, everybody. I love you guys. Have a great week. Bye.
Awesome. Bye.
Bye.